take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 1, it says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the street, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." As we look at this morning, the Lord's speaking to these folks, and He's laying it out pretty straight. And He's not hedging around the middle, but He's just calling it what it is. Amen? And He says that these, I want to preach on this for a few minutes, the hypocrite. Amen? The hypocrite. Now they was talking this morning before Sunday school, and they was bragging on your preacher and said, "Well, you know, the preacher just tells it like it is." Amen? I said, "Well, glory to God, did they ought to like the message today? Because I just want to preach a little while on the hypocrite." Amen? A lot of times we'll say, call people hypocrites, and we'll say, "Well, I don't want to go to church because they're just all a bunch of hypocrites." But I won't agree with them this morning. These times in our life that we're all hypocrites. Amen? Every one of us has been a hypocrite in our life, that we say this and we say that we stand upon this, but we'll fudge just a little bit. And He said, these hypocrites, the Lord called them hypocrites. And He said they were fudged a little bit. He said the hypocrites and their almsgiving, said they it was just all performance. Amen. He said the hypocrite in their prayer, said it was just all a public display to be seen. Amen. And He said in the hypocrites in their fasting, He said it was just a pretense. They just wanted is the pretense of fasting. They'd make their faces up to look like they was fasting. They was hungry and they was sorrowful because they wanted to be seen. Now, the very word hypocrite, if you take it, we got it from the Greek word, praise God, which means to be an actor, to be a performer, or in other words, to put on a show. But I want to tell you today, praise God, as a child of God, we're not here to put on a show. We're here because God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us, that through Him we might be saved. That's you and me today, every one of us. Salvation is the most important thing that we have. Without salvation, praise God, you don't have anything. There's no hope in this world without salvation. Amen. Salvation is what brings us through it. Salvation, the Lord, the help that He gives us, it's something that is needful every day. You need it, I need it, we need it, and we come together like this to worship the Lord in spirit and truth to get that help from God, from the throne of grace, that precious word of truth that speaks to your heart and mind and encourages, praise God, for the journey ahead. Amen. And it's a difficult journey. I've been reading and studying over there. What brought this to my mind was the book of Job. Now, Job had a tough time of it. Now, the Bible said that Job was a just man, and he feared God. And he had sons and daughters. He had all kinds of property, all kinds of creditors to take care of, all kinds of servants. But God allowed Job to lose everything that he had. Poor old Job. And he went through it. But we see when the story comes full fold, we see that Job has been covered from the top of head to the soles of his feet with sore boils. Amen. He had done lost everything he had. His health had gone down. He was sitting in ashes with a piece of broken pottery trying to scrape off them boils just to get a little bit of relief. Of course, his wife come to him, a good caring woman that she was, and she come to him, Mrs. Job, and she said, Job, how dost thou maintain thine integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? A loving wife, ain't she? Amen. Every man ought to have a woman like that. Amen. Right by your side, got your back. Amen. Should have been there with him, offering him, encouraging him. Amen. Trying to figure out. Most of our wives will be trying to figure out some kind of salve or lotion because they got tired of hearing us whine. Amen. Because men, we tend to whine a lot when we get down or we get ailed. Amen. Come on, you fellas. Amen. We know how we are. We begin to whine and moan and complain a lot. Amen. But then that wife will come along and she'll do her best to try to get us over it so we quit whining. Amen. You say it's because she loves you. Well, I guess so. But mostly just keep you to quit whining, complaining, making a noise. Amen. So Mrs. Job, she said, just curse God and die. He said, you talk as one of the foolish women. You know what he says, just to paraphrase. He said, God giveth and God taketh away. Amen. God gave me everything I had. He took it away. Praise God. He said, glory be to God. Amen. Everything we have, listen to me, everything that we have today is just on loan anyway. We don't really own nothing. It all belongs to God. Now, think about that when you're striving and searching and trying to get a hold and pull the ends together and tie them off in this world, in finances and things that we're trying to have, praise God. We better just get a hold of God first. And He said He'd take care to pull the ends together, tie it all for us, and give us the things that you and I need. Amen. I've seen it in my life. You've seen it in your life. Praise God. We had no idea how the means was going to come about for us to make it through this world. But God Almighty, we put our trust and our faith in Him. I said, Lord, You'll have to provide. And guess what? He does. Amen. He provides in a magnificent fashion. Sometimes it just blows our mind how big God is and what God can do. But if you think about it, God owns it all. Amen. He's the creator of the universe. He holds the stars in the span of His hand. The Bible says that He calls them by name. Amen. And He looks down on a little old speck of dust called earth, and He sees us in our trials and our afflictions, and He loves us. He cares for us. Amen. But we see during all this turmoil, Job's friends come along. Now, we all ought to have friends like Job's got. Amen. They come from afar. Amen. And they gather together. They conspire. And they come together. They said, let's just go up and comfort old brother Job. I heard that he's lost everything that he has. And he's in a pitiful shape. Well, when they get up out of where Job's at, and they look and see him afar off, they don't even recognize him. He's in such a pitiful shape. And the Bible says they come up there and they pull up there. And they're so astounded that they don't say nothing. Amen. Now they come to encourage Job, but they don't say nothing. For 7 days they sit there with Job in the ashes and don't say a thing. Just sit there with him. Now that's moral support. Amen. Praise God. That's moral support. Every one of us need moral support. Amen. Well, I tell you, and if we get our moral support from the Lord, I mean, people can help you. I mean, good Christian folks, people that love the Lord can help you. We can encourage you. That's why He says that we're not to fail to assemble ourselves together because some is. Even say, so more as you see that approach, because we need moral support. We need encouragement from others. We don't ever know what will befall us. Hey, there's not a one of us in here can't be gone by this evening. There's not a one of us here. Praise God. It don't matter how young or how old. Praise God. Every one of us, we're living on borrowed time. Now, I don't want to be discouraging this morning, praise God, but we all have time. And that's the essence that God gives us, praise God. And we ought to utilize that time for His glory. Put our faith and trust in Him, praise God, because He is the God of glory. So we see these fellas, they conspire, they come together, and they sit there with Job for 7 days. And then they begin to open their mouth. And oh, how encouraging they are. Basically what they do is, as we see, the very first one, Bildad, the very first thing he does is said, Job, I think the problem is that you're a hypocrite. Now, when you're down in the bottom, praise God, and you can't even see how to get out, the first thing you want somebody to do is come along and tell you, well, the reason you're in a situation, you're probably a hypocrite. Amen? You probably say that you believe and you trust in God, but you really don't. Amen? Come on. Amen? So he begins to call him a hypocrite. And he said, you've got a hypocrite's a hope. In Job chapter number 8. Let me just give you a few of these right quickly. And we'll run through them this morning and we'll go home. He said, you got a hypocrite's hope. Job chapter 8, verse number 11. He said, can the rush grow up without mire? And can a fly grow without water? Whilst it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withers before any other herb. Verse 13, look what he says. He so said, are the paths of all that forget God, and a hypocrite's hope shall perish. Amen. So he said, the hypocrite's hope. He said, the rush grows up. It grows up in the mire, but he said, before it ever wilts down, he said, it's the first thing that fades away. He said, you got that hope, but praise God, the hope ain't in the Lord. The hope ain't in the substance that God gives us. He said, but the hope, is, just like that rush, the hope is in that you can provide. Amen. Job said, well, I believe you're just a hypocrite. He said, I think you put your faith in you, put your trust in yourself, instead of putting your faith and trust in the Lord. Amen. You're counting on your righteousness. Now, righteousness is filthy rags. Amen. I told you before, I didn't know what that was. I went to Israel and they was talking about the lepers and how they would bind up the wounds of lepers with those rags. And those rags was and over there they don't waste nothing. But those rags that was used to bind up the wounds of those lepers, Brother Kevin, they had to be got rid of. They had to be destroyed and burned because they were filthy rags. Amen. And God compares those filthy rags to our righteousness. When we try to be right with God. Amen. You say, well, preacher, ain't we supposed to try to be right with God? We're supposed to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart and mind and soul and our strength. And God the Father, praise God, trusting in the Spirit to guide us and lead us and take us to where He'd have us to be, which glory, hallelujah, one day is on in the shores of glory with Him. Jesus prayed a high priestly prayer in the garden and said, I would that they would be with those that you give me, I would that they'd be with me where I am one of these days. Glory to God. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ where He's at. And He's in glory. Amen. Those of you that like the finer things in life. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah, Brother Billy. One of these days we're going to get to walk those streets of gold. Amen. Praise God. As it were, transparent glass. Amen. Did you know that true, pure gold is transparent? Amen. He said the heaven's gold, praise God, His streets of gold are transparent just like glass. You can see through them. Have you ever thought about that, praise God? Heaven, He's got a way where you can see everywhere you're going. Amen. Praise God. See right through things, praise God. See just exactly where you're going. He said, one day that's where we're going to get to be. But Bildad said, he said, Job, you're just a hypocrite. Amen. He said, you're a hypocrite. So are the paths of all that forget God. Amen. He said, what you did, that you forgot God, you forgot who God is and what God's able to do for you. He said, you're taking too much upon yourself. Amen. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. He said, the hope that you have in, praise God, the hope that we have in ourselves, it'll perish. It'll let you down. Before the day's over, I wouldn't be afraid to say, you'll disappoint yourself. Amen. But my Lord has never disappointed me. Amen. He keeps His promise. He loves us and He cares for us. Amen. So He said that the hypocrite's hope perishes. And then you have the other friend, Eliphaz. Oh, Eliphaz, he rebukes Job in Job chapter number 15 and verse 34. He says this to Job, 15 verse 34. Well, go back up to verse 28. He said, and he dwelleth in desolate cities and in houses which no man inhabiteth, which are ready to become heaps. He shall not be rich, neither shall he sustain substance continue, neither shall he prolong the perfection thereof upon the earth. He shall not depart out of the darkness, and the flame shall dry up his branches, and by the breath of his mouth shall he go away. He says in verse 34, he said, for the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate, and fire shall consume the tabernacles of bribery. He said the congregation of the hypocrites, where they gather together, and they say that we love the Lord. We say that we're following His Spirit, saying that we know what God wants for us. And sometimes if we ain't careful, we think we know more than God does. I want to say, praise God, I don't know nothing. Amen. I know that's a double negative, and I know everything, but I don't know nothing. Amen. I don't know. Well, praise God. This blessed old book, it still speaks to my soul, but I don't know nothing, praise God. But I know the God of the book, and I know that He loves me, and He cares. How do I know that? Because He tells me so. He lets me know there's something down in my soul, praise God, that speaks to me. If there's not something in your soul that speaks to you, praise God, I'd get a hold of of the altar. I'd come. I'd fall. I'd pray. I'd ask God to forgive me. I'd send His sweet Holy Spirit to indwell me. Amen. I can't do what I used to do. Amen. Brother Bobby, not that I've done really bad things, but there's just a lot of things that I just don't do no more. Because God has moved in. He's taken me in a different route. I'm going in a different direction. I'm following His lead. So He's saying that the hypocrite's habitation, amen, be desolate. He said, there'll be no way. He said, in other words, he said, you'll be all by yourself. Do you ever feel like you're just all by yourself? Amen. I know you say, well, I'll just be honest. I can go out visiting and knock on doors, and I can't find anybody that's lost no more. Amen. I can't find anybody that's lost. Everybody said, well, preacher, I think I'm okay. Amen. If you're not saved and born again, praise God, then you're not okay. You're lost on your way to hell. Amen. Now, there's not nothing hypocritical about that. That's just being lost. Amen. The hypocrite part comes in when you say, well, I think I'm okay. Amen. Praise God. That's what the hypocrite do. But he said he's all by himself. He said there's nobody there to help you. And he tells Job, he said, why are things going on? He said, there's nobody to help you because you think you've got this, or you think you man up and this is all you, but it ain't. He said, you got to realize, praise God, that you need the Lord. So we see old Bildad, he done told him he's a hypocrite. We done see Eliphaz. He said, hey, listen, I believe he's right. I think you got some hypocrisy in you. And then we see his other buddy. He sits there for a while, and in his second discourse, Zophar, he speaks up, and he says, he speaks to him about the hypocrite's happiness. Amen. In Job chapter number 20 and verse number 5, he says this. In verse number 3, he says, I have heard the check of my reproach, and the spirit of my understanding causes me to answer. He said, I can't sit here and not say nothing, so I've got to give an answer. He said, knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon earth, that the triumphant of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Amen? He said, we rejoice in ourselves, and sometimes we attain to great things, and we lift ourselves up, and we think we're all that and a pack of Cheetos. But praise God, listen, he said, when it comes down to being inside of God, and the only thing we've got to compare ourselves, we can't compare ourselves to somebody else and someone else or some other job or some other instance, but we have to compare ourselves with our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we stand? Who are we in the face of a holy God? Amen. I'm just an old sinner. Amen. Just an old sinner exceeding, and a sinner saved by God. That's all you are. If you've been saved, if you're not, you're just an old sinner. As Paul would say, praise God, he thought he was, hey listen, Jesus was talking to those Pharisees, praise God, and they were religious, very religious people. But he calls them hypocrites. Amen. He said, you're hypocrites. He said, you're depending on yourselves instead of depending on God. God had commandments that He gave them. They added to that. Amen. They added to that because they wanted to feel like they were special. I mean, they got so in their rules and their regulations. They said, "Hey, listen, it's against the law to spit on Sunday, on the Sabbath, on Saturday, on Sabbath. It's against the law to spit on Sabbath, because if you spit and it lands and it's going downhill and that little bubble of spittle starts rolling and makes a little fur, then that would be considered plowing." Amen. If we get caught up in ourselves and think we're all that, praise God, we're way past where God have us to be. Amen. If we realize that we're just old sinners and we need all the help we can get this side of eternity. Because even those of us that are saved, we're not perfect yet. We will be one day. Amen. God's promised us perfection one day. See, He's the potter and we're the clay. And there's a wheel that He's spinning us on. It's a little old planet called Earth. And He's got His hands upon us. And He's molding us and making us. Praise God. So that we don't be hypocritical, but we realize that He is the potter. And we're just the clay. I don't know about you. I've got a lot of adversities in my life. A lot of abrasions, a lot of bumps and lumps that God needs to clear up on me. Praise God, this side of eternity. So He can present me one day, could present you one day without spot or blemish or any such thing. That's a promise from God. I'll never be perfect here, but I serve a perfect God. Amen. So these fellas called Job a hypocrite. They said that the hypocrite's happiness, your joy as a hypocrite is just for a moment. We have happiness in this world. Everybody, you talk to everybody, and everybody, Brother Danny, they want to be happy. Amen? Everybody you talk to, you counsel with people, they say, "Well, I just want to be happy." That's good. Everybody should be happy. But happiness depends on what happens. You can be happy right now and sad in a minute. Amen. Just a change, a turn of events can take you from happy and rejoicing, amen, to being sad. Amen. So happiness, He said, happiness is a hypocrite. He said, it's just for a moment and it's gone. It's fleeting. He said, but true joy comes from the Lord. True joy comes from knowing Him and the free pardon of sin. It's been having the hand of God speaking to our heart and guiding us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And He begins to cleanse us and take off those bumps and lumps. He begins to give us that guidance from the throne of grace. Amen. In the place of happiness, joy, true joy comes. A joy that lasts eternally. Amen. No matter what. Think about being a child of God, being saved and knowing it. Is no matter what happens to us in this world, praise God, this too will pass. Amen. We'll be with the Lord, praise God. We'll leave all the sorrow and the sickness and the death and the dying and the disease. Maybe we're going to leave it behind and we're going to fly away. Amen. In a moment, twinkling of eye, we'll be changed. Amen. From here to yonder, we'll go home to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with Him. But these friends of Job, they said, it's a tough go for a hypocrite. Amen. And then we have Eloise, he begins to talk to him. And in Job chapter 36, he calls him, he said, "Job, what your problem is?" Said, "You've got a hypocrite's heart." Amen. Job 36. Elihu tells him, he said, "You've got that hypocrite's heart. That's what's bogging you down." In verse number 8, he says this. Job 36. He said, "If they be found in fetters and be holding in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work and their transgressions they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to discipline and commandeth that they return from iniquity." Now he's talking about God giving somebody a way out. Amen. God doesn't hold us in our sin and iniquity. God always offers us a way out. He always has. Amen. Praise God. He offered us a way out in the old times, the Old Testament, the old book. He offered us a way out in the sacrifices. When we had come before the priest, he'd offer sacrifices for us and our families that would push those sins back for another year. Amen. It couldn't forgive our sins, but it would push them back for another year. And then we had a man called Jesus who was born in a manger in Bethlehem. I grew up, praise God, come from the portals of glory. I took on the form of man, grew up, praise God, 33 and a half years old, died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. I hung up there, to praise God, before the whole world and said, "It is finished." That finished work of Calvary, that finished work of salvation was done by the Lord. So God gives us an opportunity. This side, hey, don't ever shun, don't ever neglect the opportunity that God gives to us. Because the opportunity of salvation, the opportunity to get right with God, the opportunity for righteousness, to walk right before God, it's there. And I know, let me just tell on the devil this morning. The devil is a liar. Amen. Can I get another amen?
Amen.
The devil is a liar. He tells you, "Well, you just don't need to do nothing. You're doing all right. Don't pay no attention. It's not for today. Listen, maybe next time, next week, next year, you'll get right with God. You'll confess your sins. You'll receive Jesus as Savior. But hey, don't do that today. You don't really need that. Postpone it. Why in the world would people want to postpone joy?
Amen.
Amen. Why would anybody want to postpone joy? Joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that there's nothing that will affect you in this world, praise God, that the Lord has a promise to bring you through. That one day, Lord God says, He's going to put us over on the other side. He's going to establish us. Now listen to this. He's going to establish us in victory. How do we know? Because He's already overcome the devil.
Amen.
Amen. So we shouldn't be listening to Him no more. He's the prince and power of this present world that we live in. And we talked about it in Sunday school, Brother Billy was a teaching. And sometimes we want to pack off a whole lot on the devil. You know, the old saying, "Well, the devil made me do it." I got news for you. The devil's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. A whole lot of times it's just this old flesh that makes us do what we do. Amen. We submit to the will of the flesh instead of the will of the Savior. Amen. The devil don't care nothing about you. He just wants to keep you down, beat down, trod upon. Amen. He wants to keep his foot on your neck so that you don't get saved. So he don't want no glory to go to the Father. He don't want no glory to go to the Son. And he definitely don't want no glory to go to the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's a wooing your heart. The Holy Spirit's a speaking to you, praise God. Just heed unto Him. He'll speak to you, let you know how much God loves you, how much He cares for you. But as this course continues here, he said, "What's happening here?" Said, "You've got a hypocrite's heart." Amen. Look what he says in verse 13. He said, verse 11 said, "But they may and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge." And now listen to what he says, verse 13. He said, "But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry not when He bindeth them." So he said, the hypocrite's heart, he said, his hypocrite's heart is just full of wrath. He said, he's filled, instead of filling his heart with the love and the good pleasure of God and that goodness and that mercy that God shows to us in this life and the one to come, he said, he's just filling it full of wrath, full of hatred and bitterness. Amen. That's why he said, that's what we have here. And Elihu's laying it out for a Job and said, this is where your heart is. I believe this is what's happening. Amen. So these good friends of this man, they come and they tell him the truth. Amen? I'm letting that sink in a second. They tell him the truth. You say, "Well, preacher, they're very discouraging." No, they are encouraging to him. They tell him the truth. But they tell him the truth, and while they're telling the truth, they're living as hypocrites themselves. See, they're setting themselves up above who Job is and who Job's God is. Amen? So that while trying to tell Job that he's being hypocritical, they're being hypocrites themselves. Amen. They should have just encouraged and prayed with him. Said, "Oh God, help our brother, help us, and help the brother Job." And the story one time said they was some folks was working here, and they kind of got into a little bit of an argument. He said, a fella bowed, and he started to pray, and he said, Lord, would you help my brother such and such? And then he said, and would you help me too? Amen. The other fellow said, hey, I thought for a minute you was going to be a hypocrite. Amen. They prayed for him, but he didn't pray for himself. For himself, but not the other. Amen. Glory. We can't be a hypocrite. They were hypocrites in their lives. Amen. Praise God. But we see Job as he's laying this thing out. And he's trying to figure it out, praise God, with the help of the good Lord. And in Job chapter number 27, he starts to realize some things. Job realizes that that a place for the hypocrite is a place called hell. A place that lasts forever. And he don't want to go there. In Job chapter 27, verse number 8. Verse number 7 says, let mine enemy be as the wicked, and he that riseth up against me as the unrighteous. In verse number 8 he says, for what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul. Amen. Job says, listen, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Amen. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to live in hypocrisy. I want to live in the truth of the Word of God. I want to be a servant of the Most High God. He says, I want to finish this course that I'm walking with the love of God in my heart. I want to be a child of the King, praise God. I want to be encouraging others. I want to be a light in the darkness. I want to be salt and seasoning for a world that's lost its seasons. I want to be, praise God, that God wants me to be so that people can see Christ in me and have that hope of glory. Amen. He says, I want to see that. Amen. I don't want to be that hypocrite. Amen. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Because as we are, that's how we'll stay. But Paul said, but Job said, I don't want to be a hypocrite. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 11, he says that he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Amen. That's not justified. That's without justice. He said, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. God Almighty speaks to us in the book of Revelation, toward the end of the book. And he said, those that are unjust, those that are filthy, he said, when it's all said and done, they're going to still be unjust and be filthy unless God can change them, unless they'll turn to a holy and righteous God. Amen. He said, those that are righteous, let them be righteous still. That's right in the eyes of a holy God. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. See, the most important thing, amen, what God tells you, what God shows us here, if you'll read on to the end of Job, we ain't got time to do all that, but if you run on to the end of Job, you see how Job in his life, praise God, he realized his own hypocrisy and those of hypocrisy around him. God brings it to the attention, not only of Job, but up to his buddies, and he says, hey, listen, you are just a bunch of hypocrites too. You're just exactly what you're calling him. Praise God, you're not just exactly as perfect as you think you are. Hey, listen, let's never get heady and high-minded and think we're all that. Don't think that you've arrived, praise God, because we all have a lot of room for improvement. Amen. We can't live a hypocritical life. We got to live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. We got to figure out how we want to finish this walk. How we want to finish this journey that you and I live on. That we're walking, and we should be walking for the Lord. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3. And I use this quite often in funerals because it fits perfectly. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3, the latter part of that verse, it says, if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, now listen to this, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Amen. The strength of the tree. Amen. Praise God. They say that most trees, that there's as much of the tree underground. Matt can tell you this. As much of the tree underground as there is above ground. The root system reaches out, and that's what stabilizes the tree. And when that tree gets to leaning and listing toward one direction or the other, it puts a lot of stress on the roots. Now, Jesus said in John 15 that He was that vine and we're the branches. Amen? And so we've got to be rooted in Him, praise God, so we have the strength to persevere in the world that we live in. Now, if we're flipping about our relationship with Christ, amen, we make our branches weak. We cause them to wither and decay. But when our strength is there, when that tree is leaning, amen, a lot of times that's what we're doing. And as He's talking about these hypocrites, I think about that. A lot of times we're leaning, listing one direction or the other. And it says, if a tree fall toward the south or toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. How we finish up. Let me just say this in closing this morning. Every one of us need to be leaning hard towards Jesus. Amen? If we're leaning hard toward Jesus, praise God, we'll know where we'll end up. We'll fall in the direction of the Savior. And the Bible tells that He'll catch us up and carry us away on the wings of an angel. He said, those that love the Lord and keep His commandments, He said, shall not see death. He said, now preacher, I know that's a lie because every one of us is going to die. Well, the Bible says it's appointed man wants to die and after this judgment. This old body will go to decay. This old body will perish. The Lord tarries His coming. But praise God, we've got a blessed hope that when the life's breath is gone, the next one will be taken in glory. Yeah. In the presence of the Lord. He says, but we have to decide, praise God, not to be hypocritical about it, but to realize that we need help. Every one of us need the same help. Don't think this morning, praise God, that there's something that's insignificant in you because you need help. Because you need the Lord. Because you need somebody to help you to persevere and to carry you through and to take you to glory one day. To help you to have the joy that you have from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's joy in knowing the Lord. Amen. Listen, every one of us have brothers, sisters, mamas, or daddies that love the Lord Jesus Christ, mamas and papas that love the Lord and went out of here shouting, praising the Lord. Amen. In the last days, praise God, they could smile with a blessed hope upon their face because they knew where they were going. And that's the most important part. Job talks here and talks to God. God talks to them, and God tells Job, said, listen, He said, everything's going to be okay. And God tells Job that he was accepted in the Lord. Amen? That he was accepted in the Lord. The Lord says this in verse 9 of chapter 42. He says, so Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shushite and Zophar the Naamanite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. Now watch this. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, as the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Amen. He said, pray. He said, then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all that the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. He said, Job kept his faith in the Lord. And he realized it wasn't because of him, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the good God of heaven, the one that would bless him and help him and keep him. Amen. And although he had lost it all, God gave it back to him in excess. Amen. Did it replace those that he had lost? No. But praise God, it was in excess, praise God, of what he had. The Lord will bless us in excess if we'll just put our faith and trust in Him. Amen. It's all about Him. It's all about what He can do for us. But the Bible says that we have to come to Him in faith, believing. We have to believe. That believe means to trust in, to adhere to, and to rely on. Amen. to believe on the Lord, to trust that He's able and able to do all things for us. You and I can't do what we need to do for us. We can't accomplish the things that we need to accomplish. But God has promised to be that ever-present help to help us to get through, to push forward just a little ways farther, looking for a glorious city like old Abraham, a glorious city whose builder and maker is God. And pray, and one day we'll get there because we have a promise through the Word of God, through the absolute truth of God, so that we in godliness can live up to that truth. Amen. Looking for that place. Not in a hypocritical life, as the Lord says about these Pharisees and these scribes that come unto Him. Amen. But in newness and freshness of life. He would go on in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. And He says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou fastest, anoint thy face, their head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." He said, there's an open reward for those that love the Lord. Those that are looking, praise God, for Him, for His help, for His appearing, for His goodness, for His mercy. Amen. But He said, "Hey, listen, it's not," He said, "we're not hypocrites." He said, this isn't a performance. We're not actors. Hey, this is the real thing. Amen. It's the real thing. It's not a program. It's not a play. It's not show and tell. It's not putting on a show. It ought to be real. It ought to be real in our lives. We ought to live away. Amen. To be truthful with one another. Amen. To be truthful with one another. Because just as God's truth to us. I don't know why I said that. Somebody been telling tales? Amen. Praise God. Sometimes He says, we be careful. Be really careful because we can be hypocritical. We can be hypocritical. God says, don't do that. He said, do what we do in love. Trust in the Lord to help us that we can help others. Don't ridicule and put somebody down. Pray for them. Lift them up to the Lord. Love on them. Amen. Let God know that you, let them know that you love them and you care for them. We're here to help each other. And the Bible says that starts at the home, in the home. Starts at your house, in my house. Starts at the Lord's house. And it radiates all over the world. So we can have peace and love one with another in Jesus Christ our Savior. What about you this morning?